रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीतायाः पतये नमः. अयोध्याकांड चैप्टर नंबर 18 कैकेयी'स ट्रायंफ. द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ. Rama entered and saw his father lying on the bed with hopeless eye and pallid mien and Kaikeyi standing by. He clasped his father's feet with humble reverence and next touched those of Kaikeyi. Dasharatha managed to cry, "Rama," and then speech failed him. Cruel tears blinded his eyes and he saw not Rama. The prince had never seen his father in such a fearful state. Sudden terror gripped him fast, even as though he had set his foot on a cobra's head, all heedlessly. No danger or misfortune, calamity or peril had any power to ruffle the serenity of his heart. But his father was great that he might somehow or other be unconscious cause of the present misery of Dasharatha. His father was sighing hot and furiously like a wounded snake, pale and emaciated with grief, bewildered and dazed. He lay there in strange despair like the unfathomable monarch of the waters, disturbed to the very depths, or like the lord of the day in the jaws of the dread Rahu, or like a rishi shorn of his spiritual luster by polluting himself with a lie. Rama's heart boiled within his breast like an enraged sea to think that his might have been the hand that had all innocently dealt the blow. The king's interests ever lay nearest his soul, and he said to himself, "Wondrous strange, my lord's countenance is not bright as usual with joy at beholding me. It matters not that something might have roused his displeasure against me during my absence. The moment I went into his presence, he would clean forget it and turn upon me a face wreathed in smiles. And my dear sire's heart is torn with grief the moment he sets his eyes on me." With a heavy heart and wan face, he addressed himself to his mother Kaikeyi and said, "Mother mine, is my sire displeased with me for any unwitting fault of mine? I pray you enlighten me. If it were so, whom have I to intercede for me but your good self, unvarying in his love and affection for me, nay, almost verging on partiality? How is it I find him careworn, miserable, and ominously silent to me? This tabernacle of ours is meant to go through every kind of experience, good and evil, happy and wretched, and no one's life is a bright summer all along. So it is quite in order of things that he should be subject to infirmities and maladies. Or has he some great grief weighing heavy on his heart? Or is it anything untoward that has befallen Bharata, who brings joy to the hearts of his beholders, or Shatrughna the unshaken, or my dear mothers? He is my lord and king. My duty ever awaits his pleasure. He is my fond father. The highest merit I could ever hope to lay by is to obey his lightest behests. I take no pleasure in life unless it were devoted to his service. But now, when his heart is turned away from me in anger, all the more it is an imperious command. A little thought would convince us that we derive from our father the bodies we use. So he is the only God we see and feel. Beyond a doubt, our highest aspirations are fulfilled and our greatest good secured by carrying out his commands. Or is it that you have, through love or anger, spoken to him harshly and clouded his spirits? Mother, I pray to know the truth of it. What is it that has brought about the sudden and strange revolution in the nature and thoughts of our Lord?" Kaikeyi knew as well as any that she had no fault to find with Rama, but her solicitude for the interest of her serf and Bharata blinded her to every other consideration. She felt no fear or shame that she was about to speak to Rama words unholy, unrighteous, and that were to be the prolific mother of countless woes and calamities. "Rama, the king is not offended with you, nor is he afflicted with any other grief. He desires to speak to you somewhat, but hesitates out of a natural fear that you may not carry out his wishes. You know how much he loves you, and his very love stands in the way of his speaking to you anything that might pain your heart. He has made a promise to me long ago, and it rests with you to fulfill it. He forced his boons upon me and repents of it when I hold him to his promise like any low-born churl. Is it not supremely foolish in him to grant me two boons of my choice and grieve when I demand its fulfillment like one that shuts the stable when the horse is stolen? Dharma is the root of this universe, so say the wise, and it is your plain duty to see that he does not prove a traitor to truth through his unseasonable anger towards me. If you give me a word to me that you will fulfill his promise to me, just or unjust, I will even speak on his behalf, as his extreme love to you ever stands in the way of his telling it to you himself. Unutterable grief filled the heart of Rama on hearing this. Alas, what a fate! Has it come to this that my own mother should suspect me of unwillingness or hesitation to obey the behests of Dasharatha, my father, my king, and my teacher? He turned to Kaiki and exclaimed in the hearing of his sire, "Fie, fie! Would that I were stricken dead and stuck into the dark depths of oblivion, then hear from your lips the cruel words, if, and that in connection with my father? Is he not my lord and ruler, my father, my master, the guardian of my interests? A word from him and I leap into the flames, or quaff the poison cup, or plunge into the depths of the ocean. So I pray you speak to me what my lord has at heart. I swear most solemnly to fulfill it, whatever it might be. Need I tell you that it is utterly unnecessary and ridiculous for me to promise or to swear? Rama does not speak twice." Then Kaikeyi, the most hardened of sinners, addressed herself to Rama, the very soul of truth and candor, and said, "In the long past, there was a great battle between the gods and the Asuras in which your fathers fought for the gods. The Asuras wounded him grievously so that he was at the death's door. I brought him back to life and safety, and he was pleased to give me two boons. I demand them of him now. If you have any care that the promises made by yourself and by your father should hold good, pay heed to my words. Bharata, my son, should be crowned as the heir apparent today, and with the very articles prepared for your coronation. You should cancel all the arrangements made for installation and live for 14 years in the forest of Dandaka like a recluse, with matted hair, deer skin, and bark of trees. My Bharata should reign from this Ayodhya over the broad earth with its treasures of gold and silver, horses and elephants. The king is torn between conflicting emotions of love, compassion, and grief. Worn, emaciated, and bewildered, he will not even allow you to see him. The bright scion of the Raghus, who never went back upon his plighted faith, fulfill the promise made by a sire. Walk in the path of truth and save him from the jaws of hell." The cruel words fell on the wounded heart of Dasharatha, and he writhed in impotent agony. "Alas, what have I done to be doomed to this torture, to listen all powerless to such dreadful words from this fiend in human shape? Why was I chosen the instrument of inflicting this cruel injury upon Rama, dearer to me than life itself, a shameful act which even his worst enemies would shrink from polluting their hands with? But Rama's heart was, if possible, more serene and joyful in that they were offered him a chance of placing before the world an example of filial duty. His face was faithful, index of his heart, and showed not the least sign of grief, anger, or disappointment. Never for a moment did the thought crossed his mind. What grievous injustice, what a dreadful irony of fate. This crown is mine by right of birth. My father promised it to me before the world, and now at the last moment I am to lose it, to give my consent without a pang to see the son of my stepmother seated on the throne, to renounce with a smiling face the comforts, the luxuries, the wealth, the pomp and power of what I was taught to expect as legitimately mine, and doom myself to a living death in the dreadful forest for 14 livelong years. Verily, no one would speak in the same breath of misery or unhappiness, and the Supreme Lord, one of those gems in whose radiant crown is infinite bliss. Mangalam Koshalendraya Mahaniya Gunakti Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.